All right, Rav Moshe, good evening, good evening. Let us begin. So we have the great Schus Baruch Hashem. We began the new parak last night. So we are picking up tonight. We're on Daf Yud Ches. So just to remember a little bit, just to reorient ourselves a little bit with the Gemara. So the Mishnah has talked about the idea of Misha Mesel Mutal Lefanav, that someone ultimately, again, who has the corpse, literally, again, of a relative, right in front of him. So the Mishnah said, in that case, he's pata from Kriyashma, from Tefillah, from Tefillin, from all the mitzvos. So the Gemara pointed out an interesting idea that the Mishnah makes it sound like it's only Misha Mesa Mutal. That literally, again, the corpse is right there, right in front of the individual. Yet the Gemara brought a contrasting Braisa, and the Braisa that the Gemara brought out seemed to indicate that Halacha L'maisa, even if the Mesa is not exactly right there, a person is still Pater. Let's pick up on 18a. So it's kind of like in the middle of the Braisa. So the Braisa says, Ve'in mevarchan alav, ve'in mezamnin alav, u'patr mikriya shema min ha'tfilah, u'min ha'tfilin u'mikol mitzvah sa'amuras batorah. So again, remember, so the Mishnah points out, so the Braisa points out the idea that halacha l'maisa, again, I'm patr from all of, the person is patr from all of these things. So the Gemara says, from all mitzvahs, u'b'shabbos, meso, va'ochel basar, v'shosi yayin. Now remember, again, on Shabbos, of course, there is no aninos on Shabbos, right? Remember, again, you're not owning on Shabbos, because halacha l'maisa on Shabbos, since you can't bury the dead, therefore there's no exemption. There's no exemption of mitzvos on Shabbos itself. So therefore, on Shabbos, you could eat meat, you could drink wine, you can make brachas, and you're obligated in all mitzvos. Okay. So what says to the Gemara? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Mitoch, Shinis Chayiv Be'elu, Nis Chayiv Be'kulam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, well, once you're Chayiv in these mitzvos, you're Chayiv in all mitzvos. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand. What's the difference between the two opinions just mentioned? In other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, since you're Chayiv in these mitzvos, you're Chayiv in all mitzvos. So what is that adding on that wasn't already said in the Braisa? So the Gemara says, Tash Mishamita Ike Be'nayu. It's an interesting distinction here about whether or not, you know, there is a mitzvah of marital intimacy. So the question specifically, again, when a man's wife goes to the mikvah, so upon coming home from the mikvah, there's a mitzvah of intimacy. So here's the interesting shailah. So what happens if halacha l'maisa, so mikvah night is Friday night. So now again, halacha l'maisa is the husband, quote unquote, obligated or permitted, really, in intimacy. So according to the Tanakhama, the answer to that would be no. In other words, that when we say that there's no aninos, you can't be an onin on Shabbos, what that means is externally you keep all of the regular mitzvahs, all the obligations. But certain private matters, for example, intimacy, those restrictions and prohibitions would still apply. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, once there's no aninos on Shabbos, that means that what? That everything is permitted. This, I mean, you could eat meat and you could drink wine, so intimacy is permitted as well. So that's Machlokes. Well, so interestingly enough, this is literally the topic we just did. We're doing this now in Smichas Chaver. We just did this halacha last night. So just from a halacha l'maisa perspective, you should know the way it works is like this. There is no aninos on Shabbos. So therefore, again, if a person, let's say, again, the example I gave yesterday was, you know, Reuven's father Yaakov passed away on Friday afternoon. It's an hour before Shabbos. So obviously, again, they're not going to bury him before Shabbos. So now Shabbos comes. So on Shabbos, because you can't bury someone, therefore there's no aninos. Remember, aninos is the state between death and burial, where technically speaking, you are exempt from all positive mitzvos because the rabbis wanted you to focus on taking care of the needs of the burial. Well, on Shabbos, since you can't bury, there's no aninos. There's no aninos. So what's talach? Literally, we just saw this. Shin mem aleph. In your day, sif aleph. So Shulchan Aruch says, on Shabbos, no aninos. You could eat meat. You could drink wine. You could learn Torah. You can go to shul. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, but intimacy, marital intimacy, will be prohibited. Because it's interesting, because really what it means is when there's no aninos on Shabbos is the external displays are lifted, but certain private, really, it's not certain, it's really just marital intimacy, remains prohibited for that individual. Okay. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Katani Mihas. Now what was the point of all this? Katani Mihas, Patim Kriya Shema min ha'tfila u min ha'tfilin, u'mikol mitzvos ha'amuros batorah. Yet Rav say, interestingly enough, right, we see that halacha l'maisa, the Braisa seems to indicate that you are potter from all mitzvos during aninos, even if the mace is not in front of you. That's the point, right? From the Mishnah, it sounds like that the exemption from positive mitzvos is literally when I'm in the presence of the deceased. The Braisa seems to indicate that even if I'm not in the presence of the deceased, the exemption still applies. So how do we reconcile this? Amar Papa, Tirgum Amachzir Panav Ochar. Papa said maybe he's talking about a case where ultimately, again, you turned your back. Like we saw in the Braisa, that Alocha Lamaisa, as long as you're not facing the mace, ultimately, again, you can engage in certain activities. Maybe that's what Mishnah is talking about. Ravashi Amar Kevan Shemuta Alav Lekovro, Kimuta Lefanav Dami. Now, Bosir Ravashi, and here's the answer we operate with. When the Mishnah says, Misha Misa Muta Lefanav, when someone lost a loved one, right, for whom they are obligated to mourn, and the deceased literally, again, is in front of the person, Muta Lefanav does not have to mean literally in front of the person. What does Muta Lefanav mean? The responsibility is upon the individual. It doesn't really matter where the deceased is located. So whether the deceased is literally in the same house with the mourner, or the deceased is somewhere else, if I am the person who has the responsibility to coordinate for the burial of this relative, of this loved one, then I am in aninos, even if I'm not in the same space, ultimately, again, of the corpse, of the deceased. That's the halacha. And mostly that is halacha l'maisa. Shneemar, it's actually very beautiful. The Gemara says, Vayakum Avram me'al p'nei meso. By Parashas Chayisara, after the death of Sarimena, the Torah says, and Avram stood up, Avram got up from in front of his dead, referring to Sarimenu. Me'al p'nei meso. V'neemar ve'ekbera me'si milafanai. Yet, so here's what's interesting. So the Pasuk says that after Sarah died, so Avram Avinu goes ahead, he comes and he mourns, he cries over her. So he gets up. After he gets up, he goes to Ephron. Remember, Ephron was the owner of Ma'arasa Machpelah. He goes to Ephron and he begins to negotiate with Ephron. And the wording that he uses is, Ve'akbara me'sim milafanai. Now the way the Gemara is understanding this Pasuk is, and I will bury my deceased wife who is before me. Now, what's interesting about that? She wasn't before him. In other words, Sari Imenu, right? Her body was at home. Avram was somewhere else, right? Avram was in Hebron speaking with Ephron. Yet the way he refers to his wife is as before me, Milafanai. Milafanai. So the Gemara uses this as a raya to show you that what? So how could Avram refer to Sarah as being before him if she wasn't physically there? Because since the responsibility to care for her burial ultimately, again, was upon him, it was as if she was physically before him. So therefore, again, if we come full circle, when the Mishnah says, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav, that someone whose deceased relative is before them, and that person, the relative, is exempt from all positive mitzvos, it doesn't have to mean physically before them, but rather it means, I guess for lack of a better term, what we'll call it is logistically before them. That if I am the individual who is vested with responsibility to take care of the needs of the burial, then by definition, I am exempt from all positive mitzvos. Beautiful. But say, you know, it's an interesting idea also. There's a good like shalom bias, you know, nugget in this as well. That's what Avram Avinu says, Ve'ekbara me'sim yelefanai. Perhaps Avraham Avinu was saying is, you know what the secret to a beautiful and loving marriage is? I have no idea. But what I would tell you is, something interesting to contemplate is your spouse always on your mind? Like, you know, people, we know this, and as we get a little bit, as we progress a bit more in marriage, we recognize that meaningful and beautiful and loving marriage has very little to do with the episodic gifts that you give on birthdays and anniversaries. Those are beautiful also, and they're important, and they're wonderful, and they're great, right? But at the end of the day, what creates love and harmony in a marriage? And I think especially it's from a wife. When a wife knows that she is on her husband's mind, when she knows that my husband is thinking about me, even if we're not talking, right? Or even if we're not, I don't mean like not talking because like in a fight, I mean like even if whatever, we're busy, right? The day's going by. But a wife is so assured of the love of her husband that she knows that she is on his mind. That's the secret to success. It's not really the other external stuff. It's just, that's why even though communication is so important, sometimes even when a person is busy, the ability to take advantage of texting or WhatsApp and to just send your wife, I love you. I love you. That's it. But not I-L-U-V-U. Not that. Not that. And no emojis. Right? Put on your big boy pants and write a sentence. Write a sentence and put a period after it also. You know, in other words, if you care enough about someone, write the sentence as it should be. But that little gesture, what is that little gesture? So my wife wasn't sure if I loved her. Now I sent her the text. Now she knows it. She was on the fence. She wasn't sure. Now, no, it's just, what is it saying? I'm thinking about you. I don't need anything. I can't talk. I just want you to know that you're on my mind. And that idea that a husband is thinking about a wife, of course, it works beautifully in both directions. I think sometimes men need this a little bit less than women do. Right? Again, if my wife texts me, I love you, I'm like, oh, that's nice. Great. Great. Maybe I'll see it. Maybe I won't see it. Right? But again, a husband does that for his wife. And it's the most incredible thing in the world. Why? Because I know that my husband is thinking about me. And maybe that's the pshat also that Aaron Avinu was saying to Ephron, Ve'ekbara me'sim milafanai. Maybe he was telling Ephron a little bit, you know, Sarah and I had such a beautiful marriage. She was always on my mind. She was always milafanai. She was always in front of me. She was always part of my life. And even now that she's physically gone, ultimately, again, she is such an embedded part of the fabric of my existence. Incredibly so. All right, let's go back there. Meso inav amishamalos. What was this? Remember again, we have this p'tur. So we have this concept that halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead and a person loses a loved one, yes.
That was sort of related, but not, I believe there was not exactly that situation, a similar thing that happened yesterday. That I believe thousands of people yesterday did not daven mincha. Because at the
Levaya
yesterday,
Solomon,
they started before.
Right,
they
went for 4 hours.
Until late afterwards.
Right.
And I believe they said, I believe nobody there dominated.
Interesting.
And I think I think it's based on these Gemaras, that the reason that they were
dominated. Wow.
Maybe they had Tashlumi, I don't right. know, but I believe they did not dominate.
Wow.
Because I know what time it started and I know what time it ended.
So interesting. Okay, so the truth is, That's even like a different piece of that, because right now, we're even focusing on relatives. You're even bringing in the next part of this discussion, which is even if you're not a relative, but you are a participant about the Patur sending as well. Wow. Incredible. Yeah, my Mordechai learns in the Beis Medrash where the Levaya was. Yeah, I should ask him. I didn't even think about that. He told me that the Levaya was over 4 hours.
I know what time it started.
Yeah. Mincha. I'm going to ask him. He's Mir for Shabbos. Ask him. Okay. So it says, Gavaita, says the Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah, when speaking about the exemption from mitzvos, is talking about someone who is Mesa Muta Lefonov. So we're talking about over here a relative. So remember again, the Mishnah is talking about who died, one of the seven close relatives, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a spouse. One of the people who you're obligated to sit shiva for. Now the Gemara says, it sounds like from the Mishnah, what if you're just doing shmirah? Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit, about the concept of we don't leave a body unattended. We have the concept of a shomer. Now we're going to discuss that in essence, there's really two concepts to a shomer. One idea of the shomer is a practical one, the Gemara talks about, to guard the body from achbarim, from mice. In other words, again, we just make sure that the dignity of the body remains intact, that animals shouldn't get at it or anything else. That's more like a practical logistical. On a more, I'll call it like Kabbalistic level, there's a concept that between the time of death and burial, the soul hovers over the body. And the idea that death is disorienting for the soul as well, not painful, but disorienting, so that we don't want to leave the neshama alone. So because we don't want to leave the neshama alone, ultimately, again, we have shmirah. So what's interesting about this is as follows. What's interesting to really think about this is as follows. That it sounds like that the exemption over here is only for someone who lost a relative, but not for someone who, I'll use the word guarding, who's being a shomer for the body. Yet the Gemara says, Vatanya, we learned, Hamashamer Esameis, if one is doing shmirah, right? It will say, so again, You know, if you've ever had the opportunity to perform this mitzvah, it's a very overwhelming and sombering mitzvah, ultimately. And so, if one is going ahead and literally watching over the dead, afa pi she'eno meso, even if it's not your relative, pata mikriya shema min atfila min atfilin o mikol mitzvah ha'amuras batorah. Ultimately, you're exempt from all mitzvahs, which is interesting. So even if I'm watching over someone who's not my relative, right? I'm just doing a chesed. I'm volunteering to do shmirah, right? At the end of the day, I'm also potter from all mitzvos. So the Gemara says, "Mikomen zamar zatorah mishamro afa pi she'eno meso meso afa pi she'eno mishamro." So the Gemara says, "You're right. In fact, there are two levels of exemption. What are the two levels of exemption? If you're a shomer, if you are watching over the deceased." Even if the deceased is not your relative, you're exempt. Conversely, if the deceased is not your relative, even if you're not watching over him or her, you're exempt as well. So exemption comes in two forms. Either when it's an immediate relative whom I'm obligated to mourn for, because I'm obligated to mourn for them also, b'pashas, I'm obligated to take care of their burial logistics. So because I'm going to be potter from all mitzvos. On the other hand, even if it's not my relative, but I'm sitting there with the body. I'm doing shmirah. I'm also exempt from mitzvos. Very interesting idea. Okay, well, we're going to go further on that. So the Gemara says, "Meso mishamro in avam halik beisak varas lo." So furthermore, if it takes a little bit further, it sounds like, okay, so there are two layers of exemptions. Either the person who passed away is one of my seven close relatives, or I'm watching over the body. I'm a shomer. But it sounds like if I'm walking through a cemetery, I am obligated in mitzvos. But we learned, Vatanya, lo yahalich adam bebeisak varas utfilin barosho v'sefer tar b'zra v'korei. Vim osekein, so we'll say a person shouldn't walk through the cemetery with his tefillin on his head, or a sefer open, a sefer Torah, or any sefer open, learning from that sefer. And if you do so, over mishum loig l'rash cheref oseu. So literally again, the pasuk that means, loig l'rash means one who goes ahead and disparages or makes fun of a pauper, ultimately, again, blasphemes his creator. In other words, they will say, can you imagine going over to a poor person and saying, oh my gosh, this wad of cash is really weighing me down. I wish I didn't have so much cash in my pocket, right? So obviously, someone who does that is incredibly insensitive to the plight of the pauper. They'll say, what's the scariest part of death? The scariest part of death is not the cessation of life. We believe in Olam Haba. I believe in the world to come. The scariest part of death is that you can no longer do for yourself. Literally, your assets are frozen. So whatever I have accumulated, whatever I've accomplished during my time in this world, that's what my soul has to subsist on for all eternity. That's the scariest part of death. That, you know, when I'm here in this world, I can open up a Gemara Maseches Brachos. I can go from here to Chassidus, right? I can go from there to Ma'ariv. I can make a bracha. I could do a chesed. I could visit the sick. I could do anything. And in every single moment, I'm acquiring more and more and more spiritual energy and beauty that holds me over in this world and I can sustain me in the world to come. When you die, that's it. That's it. That's the end. Whatever you've done, you've done. And that's what you have to subsist on for all eternity. Now, that's not totally true. You also have a family that you leave behind. They could continue to do. But I will say, but I just want to point out, that's why the Jew fears death. Not because I fear, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I believe in Olam Haba. But I'm so scared that here, when I'm in this world, I could do anything and everything in every moment. And yet, when life ends, suddenly again, whatever I've done, that's it. That's the cutoff. So the Gemara says, so therefore, you can't perform mitzvos in close proximity, in proximity to the dead. Why? That's considered to be insensitive, right? So I'm wearing my tefillin on in the Beis HaKvaros in the cemetery. What? Right? The dead are there. They can't perform this mitzvah. I'm going to walk around with my gemara in the cemetery. Again, the dead can't do that. So that's considered to be disrespectful. So the gemara says over here. So the gemara says, good. Over Mishul Logash Kervaseu. Twitch Gemara says, Hasam Toch Arba Amos Huda Aser, Chutzla Arba Amos Chayiv. Gemara says, here's the difference. By a cemetery, here's the way it works. You can't do mitzvos in the presence of the dead in the cemetery if you are within Dalet Amos of a grave. Dalet Amos means 6 feet. 6 feet. If you are within 6 feet of the grave, then Haloch Lamaisa, you cannot do mitzvos that is considered to be disrespectful to the dead. On the other hand, if you're outside of Dalet Amos, say the cemetery is a wide road, so I'm in the middle of the road, I'm not within 6 feet of a grave, then you can do mitzvah. So I will say, isn't this incredible? Isn't this absolutely incredible? I will say that it's considered to be disrespectful to the dead to do mitzvahs. Do you realize, like, the privilege we have to be alive? What's the privilege of life? The greatest privilege of life is that I could do, I could accomplish, I could grow, and I can't rub that in the face of the dead. I have to be respectful that the dead do not have that opportunity. So the Gemara says, "Chutz l'arba amos chayv d'amr mar meis tofes dalet amos the kriyas shema hacha chutz the dalet amos nami pater." So both say, so the halacha is, so that's why again for in a cemetery. So the halacha is, if you are within dalet amos of a grave, you cannot do mitzvos. Outside of Dalet Amos of a grave, you can do mitzvos. The Rebbe said, it turns out, we're going to stop over here for tonight, but it turns out that we have three levels of exemption. Level one, a person loses one of the relatives for whom they are obligated to mourn. Right? For anyone who you would sit shiva for, when they die, you're exempt from positive mitzvos. Level two, I didn't lose a relative, but I'm watching over a body. I'm a shomer. Exemption when I'm a shomer. And level three, I'm in a cemetery within Dalet Amos of a grave, ultimately exempted from mitzvahs there. So Rabbi Osai, shkoyach. What a week. Chevra, please join us for Chassidus. We're actually starting a new sefer tonight. A new sefer by the Piazhetzna. It's going to be great. And Tzvi Friedman always has culinary delights. Probably not good for blood pressure or other things like that or cholesterol, but quite good.
As a shomer in Tulsa, what we used to do is